Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos, Mesdaf Kuf Tes. We will begin on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Megarasis Isha. If somebody divorces his wife, and once somebody divorces his wife, she becomes Osir to his brothers because of Grushas Achiv, that she's the woman who was married to his brother and now divorced her, and then Hechzira, and the husband takes her back, and now if the husband, after he takes her back, dies without children, the halacha is she could have yibam. And we don't say that once she obtained the status of being a grushas achiv, then that status remains forever. Because, as the Gemara will explain, and we've learned previously in our Masechta as well, it's not the marriage that creates the obligation of Yibam. What creates the obligation of Yibam is the moment of death. And if at the moment of death, she and her husband were legitimately married, and he unfortunately passed away without children, the halacha is she is a candidate for Yibam. And what happened previously is immaterial to this discussion. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, says it's Osir, because Rabbi Elazar holds that once she obtains that status, that to her brothers of Grushas Achiv, it remains forever. Similarly, says the Mishnah, Kei Megarashas Yosoima. Somebody divorced the Yosoima, Vechzira, and then he takes her back. Metaris Liyavam, she's allowed to have Yibam. Again, because since at the moment of death they were married, she's considered a Yavama. Rabbi Elazar says that it's not required. It says the Mishnah Ketana Shasiya Avia, a girl that was married off by her father, which we learned of the right to marry off his daughter, and then that marriage ends, they get divorced. She is considered kiyosayma b'chaya of. She's considered like a yosayma b'chaya of, because even though she baruch Hashem still has a father, but the father has only the right to marry her off once. Now that right was gone, the next kedushin that she'll have will not be a kedusha deraisa. The divrakol esur yavam. However, what will happen if after the first marriage, where there was a get, so she is considered a grushas achiv. Not only is she considered a grushas achiv, she's considered a full-fledged grushas achiv. Because the first marriage that she had was a kedusha deraisa, which gives her the status of being grushas achiv. Then when she gets remarried as a ketana, yosayma b'chaya of, it's only Kedusha Derabbanan. So when her husband dies, the Zika she has to her brother-in-laws is only a Zika Derabbanan. But the status that she has of being a Grusha is a status of Deraisa, and that's why she's considered a Grusha, and she's not a candidate for Yibam. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, the Rebbe Elazar holds that once she gets the status of a Grusha's Achiv, that remains forever. Ask the Gemara, Amam Eifa, my time of the Belezer. What is the reason for a Belezer? Hoyav Amdal of Shav Achas. Since for one period she had the status of a Grushas Achiv, that remains forever. Amalei Rabbana Leifa, Yehochi Chalitza Namilot Tabayi. The Belezer says you don't do Yibam, but you do Chalitza. But if she is in the category of a Grushas Achiv, the halacha is that if she's a Grushas Achiv, then she doesn't have to have Yibam either. She's not allowed to have chalitza either. Chalitza nami loy tabaya. And v'chi teima, and if you'll say achinami, then read Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that not only is she not a candidate for Yibam, but she's not a candidate for chalitza either, v'tanya, but that's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa, when it explains the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, says choletzes, that she doesn't have Yibam, but she does have chalitza. Elo ayma, eifa, says eifa, I don't understand Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya. This is Abaya, says Abaya, I'll explain Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Hainu tam de Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar is not sure in misa mapelis. If we look at the moment of death, and if we look at the moment of death, then the halacha will be that she's supposed to have yibum and chalitza in the surah shon mapelim, or it's the any status that she had while she was married. And as the Gemara explains, E misa mapelis, if we're going to say that we look at the moment of death, so the moment of death, she's the almon of the brother, and Rarami kamei leibum, she's supposed to have yibum. But if, on the other hand, says the Gemara, in the suna rishonim apilim, if we look at any status she had during the marriage, and since she had during this marriage the status of being a grushas achiv, so then her amdalav sho'ach spisser, and she never could anymore be a candidate for yibum or chalitza. Since we're not quite sure, Rabbi Elazar is not quite sure how to treat her, because of that, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar says she should have chalitza and not yibum. Rav Amar, Rav says a different way of explaining Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Loilam pshita le Rabbi Elazar, the misim apelis. It's obvious that Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that we look at the moment of death. However, if that's the case, so at the moment of death, she was the almona. If at the moment of death, she's an almona, the question is, why shouldn't she have yibum? Says the Gemara. Miu, hakel b'kim b'grushin. Everybody knows that this woman was divorced from this man. However, v'hen hakel b'kim b'chazara, and people will therefore maybe make a mistake in thinking that a grushas achiv is still able to have yibum or chalitza. Ask the Gemara, why would we think that way? Ad Rabba, just the opposite. Chazara kivin the Yisrita say, when it talks about that she was divorced and then they went back, that's something which is unusual. It's lakola. Everybody will know they got remarried. The fact that they got divorced is not necessarily something that's so unusual that people don't know. Milay Skinen, says the Gemara, the Hadib Urta, that what happened was that indeed a husband taking back his wife is not that common. And if it happened, everybody will know that they got remarried. But says the Gemara, that it could have been a situation where, unfortunately, a Hadra B'Urta, they got remarried at night, V'shachar B'Tzafra, and then he died the next morning. So yes, if they would have remained married for a while, everybody would know they got remarried. But what happened here was, they weren't remarried for that long that people should become aware that that happened. And that's why, because of this possible case, Rabbi Elazar says she should only have chalitza, not yibum. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation. Hanatam de Rabbi Elazar, the Gazar Hani, he says that in a case where somebody divorced his wife and she was a gedolah, and he said that she should not have yibum, b'shum, because of the case that we learned in the end of the Mishnah, that if she was a yisoyim b'chayav, so as we discussed when we learned the last part of the Mishnah, where there she's a grushim d'oraisa, but the chiyuv yibum is not a chiyuv d'oraisa. That's why in that case it was easy to understand why she can't have yibum. So even in the case where it's not like that, Chazal treated both cases the same way. Says the Gemara, Hachinam Mistabra, and it makes sense to explain, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar and our Mishnah, that way. Minik Tani, Seifa, what do we learn in the end of the Mishnah? Tani Shaviyav in the Skarsha, that she was married off by her father and then she got divorced. Ki Yisoyim B'Chayav. She gets the status of a Yisoyim B'Chayav. The Gzira, and then if her husband takes her back, Divrei Akash Sura L'Yavim. Hayim Ayla Memra. The question is, why did the Mishnah have to teach us this din? Pshita, she is a grusha achim midaraisa, but the chiv yibum, since she was only a kedushik derabonan of a ketana, is only chiv derabonan. Elav hakamashmalan. The reason the Mishnah chose to teach us this din, even though this din is so very obvious, the Mishnah wants to teach us tam de Rabbi Elazar. The reason Rabbi Elazar says that even in a case where she's not a grushas achiv midaraisa, as we explained, still Gazer Hanif Mishem Hai, that even in that case, she's also to go back because there shouldn't be any confusion in this case where she's certainly, as we've been explaining, not a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. Tanya Kavasidre Shlokish, and says the Gemara, indeed, this is what the Braisa supports, says the Gemara, the Braisa supports Rav Ashi's explanation, because the Braisa says, Moed Nechamla Rav Elezer B'Ktana Shasiyah V'yop, even though we have in our Mishnah, a Machloikas Rav Elezer and the Tanakama, but says the Gemara, the Chum agree with Rav Elezer B'Ktana Shasiyah V'yop, that a girl who was married off by her father, and then she got divorced, and now she has the lachik status of a reiki soima b'chayav. And now that husband Achzira takes her back. Shesura liyavim. She would not be allowed to have yibam. Why? Now she grusha grushin gemurim. She's a full-fledged grushis achiv. Then chazrosa chazar gemura. But the remarriage is only kedusha ktana, only kedusha derabbanan. And that's why we understand that the halacha is that she should not be a candidate for Yibam. Continues the Braisa. When is this understandable? Shagir Shikhtana. They got divorced when she's a Ktana. Vagzirik Shikhtana. And she got remarried to this man while she's a Ktana. Avagir Shikhtana. In a case where she was divorced when she was a Ktana. Vagzirik Shikhtana. Inami Achzirik Shikhtana. He took her back as a Ktana. But they remained married long enough that God lo atzlo. They were married when she after she became a gdoila. The halacha is oicheletzis oimus yabemis, because even though she was a grushis achav, but still, as we keep on repeating and explaining the opinion of Chamim, at the moment of death, she was the wife of the brother who died without children. She's a candidate for chalitza yibam. Shem relezo oimicheletzis v'loimus yabemis. So we see that Rebbe Lezer is connecting this machloikus. Bamnei Rabbi Rav Nachman. In the case that we just discussed, where Rebbe Lezer says that even though she was a grushis achav, but if they stayed married or got married when she's a gdoila, she's mechuyev in yibam deraisa, still Rebbe Lezer said we don't allow that to happen because of the gzeira that Rav Ashi taught us. What would be the halacha regarding a tzara? Normally, of course, we know the halacha is that if a woman is exempt from Yibam and Chalitza, not only does that exemption apply to her, but as we learned in the first Mishnah of our Masechta, that exemption applies to a tzara as well. What would be the case in this tzara? Amalei, to which Rav Nachman said to Rava, he gufa gzeira. The reason Rabbi Lezer says that she shouldn't have Yibam Chalitza is the gzeira that we just explained. V'anan nekim v'nigza gzeira. To go extend that to the tzara is a gzeira l'gzeira. Ask Gemara v'tan mishum v'lezer amra hi v'tzarasa chaletzes, that she and her tzara have chalitza. That means hi v'tzarasa salkadatach. Now, the wording is very difficult, because the wording seems to indicate that both she and a tzara have to have chalitza. But we know never are two widows from the same man supposed to have chalitza. Elav, hadum, hivet tzaras al kadatach, elav, what does it mean? Oy hi, oy tzaresis, chalitzis. So we see that not only is the woman that we're talking about not able to have yibam, but this halach applies to a tzara as well. Says the Mara, however, lav terutzi kumataratz, didn't we have to amend this braisa? Because the wording of the braisa, as we just saw, is obviously incorrect. It can't be that they're both chayim chalitza. So once we're modifying and explaining the braisa, says the Gemara, tritz hachi hi chaylatzis, she could only have chalitza, tzeresa oi chaylatzis amesibamis. Says the Mishnah, shnei achim nesun l'shtei achayis ketanis. If you have two brothers that are married to two sisters who are both ketanas, two brothers married to two sisters, both have kedusha drabbanan. Umeis balo shalachs mehen, and the husband of one of these wives passed away without children, and her therefore she falls to brother-in-law for chalitza yibam. Alzu teitz mishum achayis isha. The halachia, she's considered a chayis isha. And as the Rishonim explained, since they're both on the same level, both had Kedusha Drabbanan, so if we're going to consider it a Kedushin, then it's a Kedushin, and she's an Achayis Isha. And if it's not, Achayis Ishtoi. And if it's not, then there's no Chiv Yibim Chalitz at all. And the same thing, says the Mishnah, the same halacha would apply if both wives, these two sisters, the two sisters married to two brothers, were both Charshes, women who are deaf-mutes. Says the Mishnah. The next case, Gedoyla. If one of the sisters is a Gedoyla, and Ketana, and one is a Ketana, or Meis Balash L'Ketana, and the husband of the Ketana passes away, Teitza Ketanim Shemachayis Isha. Because the Kedushin is really not a strong Kedushin, because she's an Achayis Isha. But so let's think about it. If they're considered married, she's an Achayis Ishtai. If it's not considered married, so there's no Chiv Yibim B'Chalitza. Meis Balash L'Gedoyla, but now we have a much more complicated situation. The husband of the Gedoyla passed away, and the Ketana, who's a sister, is married to the other brother. So the Zika that exists between this Gedoyla and the remaining brother is a Zika Daraisa. Because she was a Gedoyla married to her husband. And when her husband dies, unfortunately, without children, she falls to Chiv Yibim, a Zika Daraisa. What would normally prevent that Zika from going anywhere? If he's married already to her sister. But here, we have a new factor to consider. She's married to the sister. But if they were married with a Kedusha Daraisa, so that's the case of a Chai Zukukasai, that the halach is that if your Zukuka is a sister of your wife, we've learned numerous times, Baruch Hashem, in a Masech, that there's no Yibim Chalitza. But here, it's not so simple to call her an Achai Sukukasai. Why can't we call her Achai Sukukasai? Because the Kedushin is only a Kedusha de Rabbanan. What do we do? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, we have a Mechlaikas. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Mlan Vaktana Shetamayim Bay. We tell the Ketana to do Miyun. And by the Ketana doing Miyun, so they're not considered sister, they're not considered married. Since they're not considered married, so there's only a Zika. The marriage that there was here wasn't really a marriage that we have to consider because it was only a Kedusha the Rabbonim. Rabbi Gamaliel Omer, in Miyana Miyana, if the Ketana does Miyan, like Rabbi Lezer suggested, fantastic. Mimlav, if not, Tantumet Shetagdol, let's wait until the Ketana becomes a Gdoila. Once the Ketana becomes a Gdoila, their Kedushin are a Kedusha Daraisa, and once they're a Kedusha Darabaisa, Teitz Elazu, so then she'll be not obligated to have Yibim Chalitza because she's a Chayis Ishtai. Rishua says this is a very difficult situation. Eli El Ishtai, it's difficult for him between his wife. He can't remain with his wife because she's a Chayis Gukasai. V'Eli El Eshes Achiv, and he can't marry his brother's wife because she's a Chayis Ishtai. And therefore, what he has to do is divorce his wife with a get, and divorce and do chalitza. So neither of the sisters are able to be his wife. And Tosfos explains that when does the Mishnah use the word oiloi? We could understand the din, we could understand the expression. But when do Chazal choose to use this expression, and when do Chazal not use this expression? So says Tosfos, in a situation such as ours, where nobody did anything wrong, that's when the Mishnah uses the words eiloi. Says the Gemara, but we learned that according to the Tanna Kamma, according to Rabbi Lezer, what should this husband who's married the Ketana, who has a Zika with his sister, a Zika Daraisa, do? They should do Miyun. Should teach her to do Miyun. Ask the Gemara, Mishori, is it appropriate to teach a Ketana to do Miyun? But Tana Baka Paro Lo'olam Yed Bak Odom Shloshet Dvarim, the three things that a person should always try to do, Yisrachik Mishloshet Dvarim, the three things a person should avoid. Yed Bak Mishloshet Dvarim, B'chalitza, it's better to do Chalitza than to do Yibam. B'avar Shalom, a person should always try to bring peace between people, between husband and wife, but first Nadarim. It's best to have the Nadarim annulled because, of course, as we're going to learn, the Avera of Nadarim of violating a neder is a very serious aveira. V'yisrachik m'shloish dvarim min ha-miyun. A person should avoid miyun. Min ha-begdoinus. A person should be careful not to be the place where people deposit things. In those days, they didn't have banks. But they should be avoid being the place where there's pikadon or min ha-arvoinus. Arvoinus, and the Gemara is going to explain all these things that a person should avoid being a guarantor to a loan. And the Gemara explains it. So the question is, Rabbi Eliezer said in our Mishnah, what we recommend is to do miyun. The question is, why would we recommend to do miyun? Says the Gemara, miyun de mitzunshani. Here, it's not miyun. Under normal circumstances, miyun is not something that we encourage. Here, the miyun is not being done because we want to encourage miyun. The miyun is being done because we have this dilemma that we've been discussing. Because we have this dilemma, that's not considered a case that we're looking for meal. Gufa, says the Gemara, Tanya Kapara, Loilam Yiddak Odom, B'shloish Tvarim, B'chalitza. We should prefer doing chalitza over Yibam, because as Abba Shaul taught us, Tanya, Abba Shaul Oima, Kainasus Yivim Tai, if somebody does Yibam, but his intention is l'shem noi, because his yavam is beautiful, l'shem ishus, he just interested to have people say that Baruch Hashem, he's married, l'shem dav acher, just because he wants to have intimate relations, ki ilu paigei ba'erva. Yibam should only be done in a situation of a mitzvah, that somebody is intending to do a mitzvah. And therefore, in this case, and he continues saying, "Karba enelayis mamzer." If the yibam wasn't done with the best and proper intention, the child may be considered like a mamzer because she's an eshes ochiv. Taisus and there's a machloikis Rashi ben Atam that in a case that the brother-in-law and the sister-in-law want to do yibam, what's the case? In that case, do we still insist on chalitza? That's the opinion of Tais Rabbi Tam. Rashi disagrees. And Rashi says that if both the brother-in-law and sister-in-law are anxious to do Yibam, we allow, even according to Abba Shaul, to do Yibam. Moreover, as we know, there's a Machlokes HaPaiskim. The Ramah says we follow the opinion of Abba Shaul. That's why, according to Ramah, Yibam is never done. The Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like Abba Shaul, and therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Yibam can be done. Moreover, there's Machlokes Rishonim, where Abba Shaul, who we've been discussing the opinion of Abba Shaul from the beginning of the Masechta, that prefers Chalitza over Yibam because of the concern, is that a concern Midaraisa or Midarabonim? According to Ramban, Abba Shaul is concerned that if the Yibam was not done with the proper intention, it's mamish an aveira. It's mamish eshes ach deraisa. Most rishonim, many rishonim, disagree, and they hold that even though Abba Shaul says that yibum should only be done with the proper intention, that doesn't disqualify, according to Abba Shaul, a yibum that wasn't done with the proper intention. Bavar shalom, diksiv. The pasuk says, "Bakei shalom v'retfeyu." V'amar avu ask you redifa redifa. We learn exer shava. Ksiv hacha. Bakei shalom v'retfeyu, v'ksiv hasam, right of tztok v'chesed, yimtza chayim tztok v'kovid. So it's important to try to bring shalom. So the Yin Yaakov asks, what's the chiddush that we're supposed to try to bring shalom? Is there any need to bring a limud that we have to bring shalom? So he answers that Bakapara is teaching us a chiddush, that even though, of course, one may never say something which is not true, but if the purpose of saying something not true is to encourage shalom, then it's something that may be done because how great shalom is. The question is, the Gemara learned the Gzeirah Shavah. And the question is, what does the Gzeirah Shavah teach us that we didn't know before? So Rashi says that what we learn from the Gzeirah Shavah is the incredible reward somebody gets for bringing shalom. Because just like Gemilas Chassadim, we say every morning, are from the activities, the Eichlam Perisayim Ba'alam Hazah, the Kerem Kayemis Loi, Loyam Haba, so too Havar Shalom is an activity for which Eichlam Peres Sein Ba'alam Haza Vakaren Kiyamis Loyam Haba. The Mashah explains that if we only had the Pasuk Gabak Shalom Veret Feyu, we would think that, yes, I want to make peace with somebody I don't get along, but if he doesn't want to make peace, I'm allowed to hate him. Teaches us the Gzeir Shavah that just like Roy the Tztok of a Chesed, you're not supposed to be complacent. You're supposed to look for acts of Tztok of a Chesed. So too for Shalom, it's not enough to say, well, I tried and it's good enough. It's not good enough. Another pshat that the Aruch Lener explains that the Pasuk is teaching us that not only are you supposed to be a person that's supposed to try to make peace amongst other people, but of course you yourself have to be a person that isn't that lives in peace. There are people that try to make peace with other people, but they don't live with peace themselves. And what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that we should try to make peace. The Mashah makes an interesting point. Mashah says that we just spoke about Yibam, and now we're speaking about Havar Shalom. And as we just learned, the Yibam is certainly the preferable mitzvah. The only issue is that people who do Yibam don't always have the proper kavana. So we have to see the circumstances. Says the Mashah, what the Gemara is teaching us is, of course, peace is a wonderful way to live, and people should try to encourage peace. But sometimes, with some people, peace is not the way to go. And you have to look at every situation independently. Says the Gemara, Hafaras Nedarim, what was meant when it said Hafaras Nedarim? Ki Reb Nosson. The Tanya Reb Nosson Aymer, Hanoider, if somebody makes a neder, it's Kilo Banabama, it's as if he built a bomb in the time where Halacha is that we're not allowed to have bombs. V'mekaymoy, and says the Gemara, somebody who continues keeping the nether and he doesn't try to have the nether removed, the kilo of carbon, as if he brought a carbon. So Farshim explained, what does this mean? So there are a number of pshatim that are given, what does it mean, kilo bonabama? Because Rashi says, it's kilo bonabama in the time when you're not allowed to have bombs. And as the Mefarshim explain, that even though there is no isser of building a bomba if you don't intend to bring a carbon on it, but still, the halacha is that if you're going to build a bomba, there's going to be a concern that you're going to ultimately bring a carbon on the bomba in a time that you're not allowed to bring a carbon on a bomba. Here too, we should, if you make a nether, the Gemara is teaching us there's a real concern that you may chas v'shalom violate that nether. And therefore, because of that concern, the Gemara says, don't make nedarim. Because maybe, as we're learning throughout our perek, this girl who got married as a ketana will have regret, and it can only cause all types of aggravation. You shouldn't take a begotten from somebody who lives in your same city. The bais kebesedami. Because what happens is that he will frequent in your house. If somebody is, as the Mashah explains, if somebody comes from a different place and he doesn't have where to leave his things, so of course you should take a bekadim from him. But if he has where to leave it, explains the Maral, there's a concern that he may leave it in your house and that could come to a disagreement. You won't find it. You'll deny you have it. And if he has where to keep it, you better to keep it there. I saw a beautiful psak from the Sefer Chashukei Chemed. The Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses what we just learned in the Gemara, the concept of Bakish Shalom Veret Feyu. He says there was a person who was a chiyuv. He lost a parent and he tried to always daven to be the Baal Tefillah because he's a novel. And what happened was, he knows, as the Shulchan Aruch and all the Paiskim teach us, there are very specific rules. There are very specific rules regarding who has kedima, who could go to the Amid before somebody else. And he recognized those halachas, and of course, he wasn't going to violate any of those halachas, but he asked anybody in the shul if tomorrow they're chiyuv, tomorrow they're chiyuv, please let me know, because you have a right to be the Baal Tefillah, and I'll look for somewhere else to daven, because I don't want to miss the opportunity to daven, to be the Shlich Tzibur, because I am a chiyuv. What happened was, one morning, somebody comes to the shul, and he says, I'm a chiyuv, I have yahrzeit today. And the halacha clearly is that if somebody has yahrzeit, he comes before somebody who's only davening as a shliach tzibur because he lost a parent. So he tells this person, I recognize the halacha is that you have preference to amid, but I requested that if such a situation comes up, I please be notified so that I should be able to go to a different shul and still be able to daven as a shliach tzibur, which is so very, very important to me. Why didn't you notify me? So, and he says, since you didn't notify me, even though under normal circumstances, I should have to give up the amid, because you didn't do what you were supposed to do in notifying me, I don't want to give up the amid of being shliach tzibur. I want to daven because my parents died, one of my parents died this year. Says the Cheshukei Chemed, such a type of attitude is the exact opposite of what we just learned in the Gemara, of Bakei Shalom V'Retfeyu, to look for peace. And I once heard from the Blushva Rebbe Zitzal, he says, the reason a Yosem davens as a Shliach Tzibur, because it's a schus for his parent who just were nifter. Said the Blushva Rebbe, the biggest schus that we could do for a parent is to be mevater, to give up on what we think we should be, have the right to be the shliach tzibur. But the fact that we're ready to give up that right is a clear example of Bakei Shalom V'Retfeyu. And the biggest chus that we could do for a parent who's no longer here is to be an individual who is a Bakei Shalom V'Retfeyu. Minei Raven, we learned that the next thing you should avoid is being a guarantor. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Ba'arvi Shaltzian, the guarantors from the city of Shaltzian. Dabar Yitzchak Maidik say, ra, kiyar of zar, ra, ach, ra, of tavai. There will be terrible things happen, the makabli gerim, to those that accept gerim, u, le'arvi Shaltzian, arvi Shaltzian. So Tosfos right away points out that we're talking about a situation that we try to encourage them to become gerim. But if we don't encourage them to become gerim, they come on their own to be gerim, and they're sincere, we should take them. And in fact, quotes the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not want to accept Timna, who wanted to be a geiris, and they were punished because she refused to be. They refused to accept her, even though she was sincere. Amalek was her descendant. And as we're going to learn, what it means is, if somebody says, it's enough that I learn, I don't have to do anything more. And I'll explain it in a moment. Why is it so discouraged to accept Gerim? Gerim are difficult to Klai Yisrael like Tsaras. And many explanation in this Gemara why. Rashi explains, because the Gerim, since they weren't born as Jews, are not familiar with all the halachas, and Klai Yisrael could learn from them not to do things the wrong way. Another pshat that Rashi suggests in Masechet Nida is that Gerim, Klai Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, we're all responsible, one Jew is responsible for the next Jew. So we're going to have a ger who isn't acting properly. So as long as he wasn't Jewish, we're not responsible for him. But now we become responsible. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is because Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashir Shechinasai, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring the Shechina, Ela Al Mishpachas Mishchinasais, families that have the proper yichus, and gerim don't have that yichus. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests The Torah keeps on warning us not to treat a ger properly with the proper respect. It's a difficult mitzvah to fulfill, and therefore maybe we're better off without having gerim. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the reason Klal Yisrael is in Golus is because we have to absorb all of the gerim that are not yet part of Klal Yisrael. If we wouldn't have had that need, then we already would be out of the gerim. But Ravram Ger says a different pshat. He says that we know gerim are maybe more careful in doing mitzvahs than people who are born as Jews. And that's a condemnation. Look at this person who wasn't born as a Jew and how he behaves. Why aren't we behaving properly? The Rambam says that the concern is that maybe, as we learned before, they didn't do the geiris l'shem shemayim. And since they didn't do the geiris l'shem shemayim, we would be better off of not having them. The question is that the Achroinim discuss, we're going to learn a mitzvah shem, a gemara masechta ksubis. The gemara says that a ger, cotton, if somebody adopts a child, he can bring him in as a ger. The question is, why? Isn't it better not to take them? But the question is, so the safe Shalos HaTshuvos Beis Sha'arim says a very nice pshat. When is there concern? Why did Rashi say is the concern with Gerim? Because since they weren't born in the environment of Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs, they may not fulfill them, and that would be a problem. But a child that's as accepted as a Ger already as a young child, and he's brought up in a home of Torah Mitzvahs, that concern doesn't exist. And therefore, we could take him as a Ger. Avish Tzin, the Avdish Leifdeutz, that means that instead of going to the loiva, instead of going to the person who borrowed the money from you and collecting the loan, what happened was that they went to the guarantor first, and therefore one should avoid being such an arif. To keiatz mel dvar locha, what does that mean? The tanya Rabbi Yosef Emor, kol oimer, if somebody makes the declaration ein loy tyra, that he I'm not going to learn tyra. Ain't like Torah. He won't get schar for learning Torah. Ask the Gemara, obviously, pshita. If he's not learning Torah, why would he get the schar of Torah? Elohim, call Ayma, ain't like Torah. That he says, I only have to learn Torah. Ain't like Elo Torah. He'll only get schar for learning Torah because he's not fulfilling any of the mitzvahs. Says, ask the Gemara, Hanami pshita. If he didn't do any mitzvahs, so he certainly doesn't deserve schar for them. Elo, I feel Torah ain't loy. If somebody says that all I need to do is just learn Torah, then the halacha is he won't even have schar for Torah. My tama, I'm a papa, I'm a kraw. The pasuk says v'lamadatem v'asisim. Kol sheyeshna basia, yeshna b'lamida. Somebody who does the mitzvahs will get schar for learning Torah. However, kol sheyeshna basia, if somebody doesn't do the mitzvahs, then he won't get schar for the Lamida, then he won't get schar for learning Torah either. A person, if he wants schar for learning Torah, has to be a person that does the mitzvah. And in fact, I saw a beautiful pshat from the Sefer Mor v'Shemesh. The pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu, after leaving his parents' home, and he's on the way to the home of Lavan, the pasuk says, v'yachloim, v'inesh shulam ma'itz v'arzo, v'roysh magia hashemayma. And the pasuk says, "V'yikatz Yaakov Mishnaso." Yaakov awakes, "V'yomer," and he declares, "Ochen Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh v'noich lo yedati." So the Mor v'Shemesh explains: we know that Yaakov Avinu, for the first 14 years after he left his parents' house, he learned in the yeshiva Shem v'Aver. He was absorbed in the home of Shem v'Aver, and all he did was learn. Now he left the home of the Shem. Now he left the yeshiva Shem Vaver. Now he's out in the world. And what happens when he's out in the world? He sees the power of tefillah. He sees the power of Yerushalayim. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishinosoi. Yaakov woke from his learning. And he recognized as much as powerful one's learning is, it's not enough. You also have to have manor makom hazeh. Ein zeh in kibes elokim zera shar shemayim. Learning that's not accompanied with your shemayim. Learning that's not accompanied with doing mitzvahs. Yaakovinu realized the noich lo yadati. I never realized that learning without that is not considered real learning. V'bay saima loylam kedemrisa mekar. We go back to our original pshat. Yikol aymar ein lo tyra. Somebody says that I only want to learn Torah and not fulfill the mitzvahs, ain't like Ella Torah. I get the schar for Torah. I went, if he's a person that teaches other people Torah, then, and as I saw the Sefer Mitzvah Eisen explains, and there is no concern that his Talmidim will get the wrong message, and they'll think that you don't have to do mitzvahs, then I'll get schar Torah. V'azlova Avdi, Maritime Isla Agril of the day, we would think that he'll get at least the schar for their mitzvahs. Kamash Milan, he won't get the schar for their mitzvah. Ask Toysus that the Gemara Masechti Yuma teaches us, call him Zakas Rabbim, ain't chait about Loyodoy. If somebody teaches other people Torah, he gets the schar. And here we're saying not that way. So Toysus differentiates what type of individual this is. If this is a person that learned Torah as a tzaddik, he'll get schar. But if the person is not that way, he won't get the schar. But the yon of this, it's referring to a dayan that a din Torah comes to him. And he learned halacha, but he doesn't, he learned halacha, but he doesn't know the halacha in this particular situation. So he tries to use his own logic to come to a suggest, to come to a decision what to do. V'islay rabbi, but he has a rebbe whom he could ask what to do. V'loy ozo mashal, and he didn't go ask his rebbe what to do. That is unacceptable. Domer Hashem ba nachmeni amar b'yonison. Loyal year dayin. A person, a dayin should see himself as if he has a sword right by his feet. Gehenim psulach v'tachtam, Gehenim is open right under him. Shnema, hinei mitosa sheshloima shishim giboirim, savala mi gibor Yisrael, mipachet laila, mipachet she Gehenim shadayim laila. A person has to fear Gehenim, and a person who does it in Torah has to realize the repercussions of what he's doing. And as I saw, Yisrael Salanta says, Yudayin atzmai, before we judge other people's, we have to judge ourselves. There are so many distractions in this world. And a person has to judge himself. Am I doing the right thing or not? And that's how he should approach any act of doing of being a Talmid Chacham. And here we see that a person should always consult before he decides something. The Paiskim say that even if a person knows what he thinks is the answer to a question, and even a person has the logic and he has the background, if he has the ability to look and find the question that he's trying to get an answer to in Sfarim, where the answer could be found, he should not just rely on himself. The Pasuk says, Ozlei ve'evosh, when will I not be embarrassed? Be'biti, that instead of relying on my own wisdom, relying on my own logic, the loch is that babiti, a person is supposed to live, a person is supposed to look up for himself the answer to all the questions. And I saw that the Sefer Naf Yosef explains, what does this mar mean? If you have a sword right on the side of you, you're going to be careful to walk straight down the middle. And the same thing here. What he should do is not veer from the truth, not to the right nor to the left. A dayan's obligation is to follow the halacha to the final, finest detail.